The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome, welcome. Wow, I can't believe it's Thursday again. It's that time of the week, and it's the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and tonight we got Nadine Hochter-Malherbe, which is a new addition. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start the show, as we always do, with a little bit of a business story, and then I'm going to introduce Nadine, who I guarantee tonight, the first time I can do this, is to tell you that it's going to be sheer bliss. Because that's the name of her business. But before we get there, I want to talk about the concept of an opportunity cost. Because in business, it's the value. What is an opportunity cost? It's if you do something and obviously you're not doing something else. And the definition of that, it's the value of the next best alternative that you're giving up. And when you make a decision, the cost could be in many different things. It could be time, it could be money, could even be your resources. For instance, if let's say you've got 100,000 rand to spend on your business, you can either buy new equipment or maybe you can spend it on marketing. But you can't spend the same money on both things simultaneously. And every time you say yes to something, you're actually saying no to something else.
Yeah.
And in business, you need to know what's the best thing to say no to, because we want to do everything. We want to achieve everything, but you've got to prioritize. And that's where you've got to look at the opportunity cost. And sometimes it's worth not only looking at what you're going to, but looking towards what you've just given up to see, is it worth giving that up? And I'm saying that with a little bit of a hesitation, because it's worth looking at it, but not to dwell on it too much. Because some people look at the opportunity that they're giving up and they keep focusing on that and not what they're doing in business. But it's definitely worth taking that into account. So, Nadine, you're going to share with us, obviously, some of the things that you gave up to start your business. So who's Nadine? So Nadine's going to give us an uplifting, inspiring conversation, and she really embodies resilience and innovation. She's a pioneer in the world of the massage therapy by using virtual reality together with that. And she's turned her passion into a thriving business. Nadine, as I said, is the founder of Sheer Bliss. She specializes in corporate and mobile massage. And Nadine's journey is one of grit, grace, and also giving back. She was raised by a single mother, supported by the Chevra Kedisha during her earlier years. And she actually told me the story, and I said, when she told me, I said, what? Just say that again. She said, at the age of 13, she marched into the Chevra Kedisha's offices and said, I was meant to go to school. I'm not going to school. Please pay for my schooling. Please help me.
Yeah, I didn't even say, I didn't expect them to pay. I was just like, please help me. I'm not sure what needs to happen. I just need to go to school.
And they helped you, and you went through schooling, and now you started your own business. And now, I'm not sure if it's giving it back or giving it or paying it forward, but you, out of gratitude through what you went through, you're now paying it back. Mm. And Nadine started her career as a secretary, and then gave that up.
Yeah.
That's the opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. And then went into the beauty world. And then she launched Sheer Bliss in 2006 with a powerful mission to uplift and empower women in the massage and beauty industry. And in 2018, she broke new ground by launching what she calls MEED, the massage that combines the virtual reality with it. So imagine getting a relaxing massage at your desk while your mind and your view is transported to a beautiful tropical beach. And it, yes,
or
it
says forest or mountains, forest
or anywhere you where you want to go.
Your happy place.
You can go to your happy place. So Nadine, I just want to welcome you first of all to the show.
Thank you.
And I want to start off just with a little bit of the background, because I think there's a lot of stories out there of people who have struggled and got through that. And I think that's an inspiration for a lot of people. So if you can take us back to the 12 or 13-year-old you.
Yeah.
Where did you get that guts from to go and ask for help? Because we all need help along the way, and a lot of us don't have the guts to ask for the help. Just take us through that story.
Well, my children will tell you it's because I don't have any social anxiety issues. But I think that it's something that was always positioned in our home, that, you know, like the Jewish community is always there for you. And so at that time, it just seemed quite natural to go to the Jewish community. I knew the situation at home. I knew my mom wasn't working. I knew my dad was very absent. He wasn't supporting us at all. And I just felt like I was out of options. So I went to the Chevra Kedisha. And like I say, I just walked in to the reception area, said to them, I need to go to school. I haven't started high school. I'm 13. I'm Jewish. Can you please? I was 12, actually. So I turned 13 that year. And it was amazing how fast it all happened, actually. They just, like, put me in touch with the Jewish Board of Education. I'll never forget Bev Farlam. She was phenomenal. She's, I don't even know if she knows the impact she's had on my life, just with her kindness. And she kind of sorted everything out. And then in the offices, there was Mrs. Chiplovitz, who saw me around, made sure I had all the textbooks I needed, got me a good blazer. And it wasn't like, you know, no one would ever have known at school that that was the situation. I got sent to Squires. I got all new school uniforms. The school bus picked me up every day, dropped me off every day. No one would know, ever. I went on every Shabbaton or anything with school, and I was just a part of everything at school. So it was phenomenal. And I think that at the time, as a teenager, I didn't even recognize how massive that was. In fact, I think it really hit home for me when I went to my 20-year reunion in 2020, just before COVID hit. And, you know, I just had this immense sense of pride for having gone to King David and being a part of that community. And it's had such a massive effect on my life. And, you know, the Jewish community is so special to me, and I'm really grateful that I can immerse myself in the Jewish community and contribute to it and be a part of it, be supported by it, but also to support other businesses that need mentorship when I have the capacity for that as well. I think that we are a special community, and we should never forget that.
Wow, that's amazing. And interesting, the point that you made is I think you said it was Bev, who she might not know the impact that she's had on you. And I think that is so true of so many people, that we have an impact on people and we're not even aware of the impact that we're having on people. And I think part of what you're giving back is by having impact on many different people.
I hope so. I think that, you know, to make a difference is really important for me. And I've come to realize that is a core part of my purpose, and it's really meaningful for me to feel like I am contributing back to my community and the world.
That's fantastic. And if you have a look at where you went from then, just take us, so you finished school and then you became a secretary. And at what stage did you decide that wasn't enough for you?
I think it came from seeing my mom struggle through the years. You know, she had worked an admin job. She was actually, in her heart, she was a dancing teacher, and we grew up in a dance studio, so there was a lot of fun and drama. It was jazz hands. But she worked these day jobs that she really hated, and I could just see that, and I could see how draining it was for her, and I really committed myself to not wanting to live a life that didn't make me feel happy. And so beauty therapy felt right for me. It was a trade. It was something that I could use all over the world. There was lots of opportunity. And if anything else, if I didn't like it, I could still use it on myself and friends and family. So beauty therapy was a good fit for me. And then I fell in love with the industry.
So what we're going to do is we're going to move from the secretary into that world that you fell in love with. but we'll do it after the ad break.
Okay.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're talking to Nadine Hochter-Melchewa. If any of you during this interview, if you've got any questions, you can actually WhatsApp us on 0861-895-1019. It's 0861-895-1019. So Nadine, for those of you listening, we're talking to Nadine from Sheer Bliss, which is the name of the business. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you go about being in the industry and then creating your own business? If you can maybe think back for somebody who's listening in, who has an idea of starting their own business, maybe the same or complete different industry, kind of what's the process step by step in your mind and in action to create a business?
In my case, it was all quite spontaneous. I had, I was working in a salon for 4 years, and I knew that in some way I didn't really want to be in salon the whole time. I'm quite variety driven, and I like a lot of action and variety. So I did want to start a business, but it hadn't really been top of mind. And then there was an opportunity. Something changed at the place that I was working, and I just spontaneously resigned on the spot. And I borrowed a massage bed from my bestie, and I grabbed a Yellow Pages. That's how long ago it was. Websites weren't even a thing. And I started phoning companies and telling them that I come to your office. I heard that that people did this in Australia, but I knew that there wasn't really anyone doing it in South Africa. And I thought I'd give it a go. And at that time, I envisaged just myself going into offices and massaging people all day. That I didn't really know what it was going to become. But that's how I started. The internet was new. Gosh, I feel old now. and I had a friend who built websites. And I said to him, like, I need a website. Please, can you help me out? I gave his girlfriend manicures and pedicures for a year. And he built my website. And it was with that I got, like, my first big corporate booking. And that was Media 24. So they started booking every 2 weeks. And that was amazing because that was like a great way to just start the business.
So just before you go on with that, so what you're really saying is you didn't have a plan. You didn't have, like people say, have a business plan.
No.
And decide. You just started doing it. And that's a great thing. And finding your way as you go along. Do you remember how you priced it at the beginning? And looking back, do you think your pricing was right or was it wrong?
Yes, I think it was right. I mean, later we added travel fees and started recognizing all of the rest of the costs of the service delivery. But at the time, it was really just taking what the price, an average price of a 1 hour massage, going, okay, we're doing 15 minutes, let's break it down by four and charge that so that it's sort of industry related. And that's what we did. So we started with a small menu of services. In fact, we still have a small menu of services. We're not overcomplicated at all. And that's how it began. And I think that the pricing was right. And then it's grown incrementally over the years. And I think price is something every entrepreneur struggles with. You have to make sure that you're not pricing yourself out of the market, but you also don't want to be, you know, the cheapest on the market, because that's not right either. And for us, our price is very justifiable in that we really take good care of our staff. You know, women empowerment is top of mind for us. So our therapists don't work as often, but when they do, they earn really well and they get paid on the same day. So it helps them with cash flow. And we'll cover certain travel fees and things like that for them as well. But it is all costed in. And of course, as the business has grown, then the rest of the costs start adding up. And then you really have to start paying close attention to that balance sheet and where money is actually going. Because then it stops being like, this is the cost of the service. This is the cost of rolling it out. And it becomes more around the costs of the company and how we get to cover that in totality. Mm. And that's something that Aut taught me. So it's through AutJet that I really learnt all of that stuff. So, and I'd been running the business for quite some time by the time I joined Aut. And I just kept doing doing it. So I just kept getting customers, keeping our promises and delivering to them. And we ran a good business. We've always run a good business. But I think that it's until you get more insight into the intricacies of what you can improve in a business that really start making a difference and you really start seeing growth. So, you know, you can stay a lifestyle business forever if you want to just keep sort of rolling it over, and it can be quite hand to mouth. But if you want to grow a proper business, you're going to need to delve deeper and really start planning the bigger picture.
So I want to go into that bigger picture, but before we get there, I want to ask around or just highlight some of the lessons I've learned from what you've just said. So the first thing is just do it. Just go out there and start doing it, and you learn as you go along. Then from a pricing point of view, it's be related to the industry. So look at what everybody else is charging. Stick somewhere in that range. You said also don't be the cheapest, because then it feels like you are cheap. You want to show some kind of value for what you're doing, and then keep it simple. Really, don't over offer too many things. If people say, what do? This is what you do. So just from the business point of view now, how many people do you have working for you, and what are the steps that you see now of building what you termed a real business rather than just hand to mouth?
Well, so we now have three branches. We're in Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban. And we have a complement of around 50 therapists nationally. They're all freelancers. And our office team is, we've kind of, our core team is like five people. So there's a manager in each of those branches. And then the Joburg branch, a lot of stuff happens. So we've got two people in the office there. So it's actually not, it's not huge. And I think that, you know, this is where I kind of go, like, don't get funding. You can run it debt-free and you can keep doing that. Or you can get the funding and you can scale and you can do so much more. And I've always vacillated between what would have been better. Would it have been better to get the funding or just start it lean? And I think that to get going, like, don't hold your business back because you're waiting for funding. Keep going. And if you get the funding, then have those big dreams and know how you're going to spend that money. Now I can spend that money very quickly. I can tell you exactly what we need to scale very fast. But it's not the be all and end all of everything, you know, getting funding for a business. So
when you're running three different branches, how do you go from somebody who just wanted to go in and give the massages yourself to now running three different areas? How's that development? Or did you just fall into it? Do you just try it? And together with that, your personal risk profile, are you someone who's scared of risk, or you're just happy to take on risk and let's see how it goes?
No, I'm quite risky. I'm quite cheeky like that. I'm happy to gamble and see what happens. And sometimes it's, you know, throw it at the wall and see what sticks. And failure comes with lessons. So you've got to be comfortable with failure and entrepreneurship. And it can be hurtful and it can be scarring, but you've just got to go through it to learn what you have to do. But honestly, I think that the biggest secret sauce is processes and figuring out, you know, once you've got a process that everyone knows how to follow, that is how you create order from the chaos. Because as soon as you've got a process and everyone knows what's expected of them, that starts harnessing company culture and everybody knows what's supposed to happen next. And that's the expectation of the business, instead of it just being like, okay, well, I need to phone someone to figure out what happens now. If we've done it before and we know what to do, someone knows what to do next. And it doesn't have to be me, but someone in the team will know what happens next if I'm not available. So that's also really liberating and freeing for me, to not have to be the person who handles everything in the business. I can go away for a month if I like. I can pop into my CRM and, you know, delegate some stuff, and the business keeps running, which is a huge relief. Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs feel very stuck in their business. It's a horrible feeling to have when you love and hate your business at the same time. And the best way to love your business is to have the right people in the right places doing the good stuff.
Wow. So they say you must work on your business, not necessarily in your business.
That was the biggest ought lesson for me.
So unpack that lesson.
Well, it is exactly that. I think all of us get, Alan Ray as well tell you that we're all, we're all operations addicts, and it's true. It's easy to get stuck in the operations, and you know, because we know what to do. It's familiar, so it's easy to keep doing that work, and it's comfortable. But it doesn't help you grow. You don't build a business from doing the same stuff over and over again. And you know, even there's a book, The E-Myth, and they talk about exactly this, putting in processes and people, and that's how you scale a business. And it was quite enlightening. It was Women's Day, and Women's Day is our highest season. And I was running around getting uniforms embroidered at the last minute because we had extra staff. And as I was listening to this book, I was driving to the uniform embroider thing, like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. But at the end of the day, we have to sometimes get our hands dirty and just do what needs to happen to keep the business flowing. But I think it's important to not stay in that space, to make sure that you can chip in when you need to as the owner of the business, but you've got to make sure that that's not how you're living day to day in the business.
So you're saying, yeah, you've got to get your hands dirty, but it's around trying to get others to do the work rather than just keep on jumping in.
Exactly. And the question I ask myself the whole time with that is, as soon as I'm spending a lot of time on something, the question is this a good use of my time? You know, I had to stop massaging in the business at some point, and it was really just because it's not a good use of my time. My time is better spent connecting with more customers and letting the therapists do the massage, creating employment for the people, and let them do that. I don't have to be the person massaging. I don't want to be the person massaging, actually. I want to be the person growing the business. I like building things, and that's where I find my joy in the business. So, yeah.
And then at a later stage, you'll start hiring people to do the selling.
Hopefully, yes. I'm trying to build a sales process now.
Yeah. So that's a good point that you made, is around processes, to always have processes and systems in place.
Mm.
Is it something that you have in your business written down somewhere, or is it in people's heads?
So this year we started using Flowcode, which has been phenomenal to outline all of that, to clearly understand what the divisions of the business are, and yes, write down those processes, have them somewhere. So it was something I thought I had done really well until I joined the platform, but it was really around, how do we take this cookie cutter model and move it around? And we've done it in Joburg, we've done it in Cape Town, we've done it in Durban, and it's all been because of those processes. But we didn't really have clear processes for everything. We had like a workflow for a quote comes in and what happens next, but not everything else. So it's not perfect, and it's something that evolves and it changes all the time, and we're constantly working on it and finding new processes that we add in. And sometimes we unconsciously go, hey, we just created a process. Let's just write that down, and now we have a process. So I think it's having an awareness around when you do something in your business that you've done a second time and a third time, that's a process. Write it down. Make sure that you've got it, especially if you are trying to build an asset as a business.
And take us through any stories of, if you were opening up a branch in Durban or Cape Town, did everything flow easily? And I'm asking this not knowing the answer, but presuming it didn't. Because I know businesses. Take us through some of the issues that you had and some of the things that you did to fix it.
Yeah, I think, well, our Durban branch was the biggest challenge, and it was really hard getting going. You know, in any business, who you're working with, you have to have absolute trust. And I worked with a person who ultimately, we don't know, but we do know that we weren't getting repeat business. And that was the red flag. And then at that point, went and had a look and found all of pictures of our girls in our uniforms on her socials, on her website. And I don't know what made me look then, because it had obviously been going on for some time, but I did. And I actually phoned Debbie Mergen, and she's the owner of Camelot, and I really look up to her. And I gave her a call, and she said, well, this is your business. You get on an airplane and you go and sort it out. And I flew to Durban the next morning. We had an event. I went to go and see that it was all running smoothly. And it was. And then I phoned the contact and I said to her, look, you know, can we go for coffee? And I showed her the evidence, and she physically got up and ran away. So,
she was basically stealing your business.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially. I mean, yeah, we don't have proof, but, you know, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
And, but then we had to shut it down, you know, but we had bookings. We had clients, and we weren't going to jeopardize the integrity of the branch. It had taken us time to build up these customers and get them booking and start building a reputation in that area. And it's still trying to build that up there. So we ended up flying therapists from Joburg to Durban just to honor those appointments and make sure that we could still deliver. So it was expensive to do that. And at the end of the day, our clients were none the wiser. Our girls were like flying in the morning, delivering. We were trying to book things all on the same day so we could just make sure it all happened at the same time and then bring them back. And it was fun. And then we found Mia, who runs our branch there now, and she is the best thing that's happened. So, you know, sometimes those hard things are a blessing in disguise, because her experience and her network and her knowledge of Durban is invaluable to the business. It's been incredible working with her. So I'm really grateful to have her on our team.
Great. So if you've just tuned in, I had a couple of people tell me that they tune in on the way back when they've gone shopping. And on they get in the car and they turn it on, and they don't always know who we're talking to. So I'm talking to Nadine Hochter from Sheer Bliss, talking about it's a mobile massage business together with virtual reality.
Yeah.
And just sharing some of the lessons. And you said that you don't see things as failure, you see them as lessons. So you're looking for the positive out of the negative. Processes and systems and people are important. And I think the point that you made just now about honoring your commitments, even if it cost you, and it cost you quite a bit to fly a whole lot of people across, but that kept the business going until you could find somebody to take it over. And those are some of the things that are crucial to get a business to go, because sometimes you hit a brick wall like that and you might say, sorry, we got no one available, or you make a plan.
Yeah.
And sometimes those plans are costly.
Yeah.
And those are the lessons that we learn as we go along.
And that for us is critical. You know, customer service is our highest priority. So if we've told a customer that we'll do something, it would take a hell of a lot for us to not deliver on that. But mistakes do happen. And I always say to my team, look, mistakes happen. Never lie to us. If something goes wrong, tell us the truth. Because even if you've made a mistake, it's not the mistake that matters. It's how we handle it that makes a difference. You can have a client that is so irate, that is so furious with something that's gone wrong. But when they see how you deal with that, it can turn it around, and you've got a client for life. Mm.
So there's a thing in, I think it's Japanese or Chinese, I think it's Japanese, a concept where they take a vase that's broken.
The gold leaf.
And they fix it with gold. Mm. And then after they fixed it, it actually looks so much better than it looked before it was broken.
Yeah.
And I think that's the concept you're talking about. I can't remember what the term is. But it's around, and that's exactly what you're saying, is sometimes there's a problem, it's broken. When you fix it, the relationship's a lot stronger afterwards.
Absolutely. And then clients know they can talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what are your plans going forward? Have you got any great plans? And I'm asking that because I know that you've got one very big plan. What is the plan going forward?
So there's a new division that we've launched in South Africa. It's also in line with creating employment for our therapists, so, and helping them to upskill and just, you know, create more for them. So we've just launched recruitment for our company. So I think one of the challenges in the industry is that therapists don't get a lot of mentorship and coaching. A lot of salons and spas are owned by people who are not necessarily in the industry. So we fill that gap by giving them in-house training and then coaching them. They know that they can call us. So that's on an ad hoc basis. So they can work weekends and things in spas. And then other than that, we have just registered in the UK. So we will be coming to England with our amazing massage and virtual reality services.
Great. So I'm going to unpack the recruitment and the move to the UK after the ad break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Ortjet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and I'm talking to Nadine Hochter. If you have any questions, you can contact us on 0861 895 1019 on the WhatsApp line. That's 0861 895 1019. Nadine, just before we went to the break, you were talking about the recruitment and helping the therapist there. I wasn't quite clear on what that was. I want to unpack that a little bit. And then I want to get a little bit more about your move to the UK. So first of all, what exactly is the recruitment and the mentoring? I didn't quite get what you're doing there.
So we have a great group of really skilled therapists, and we like to give them as much work as possible. I mean, I've got one of the women on my team is a single mom with four kids. She's got twins, and this woman just, she's incredible. She is so skilled. And I think that there's some exploitation going on in the industry, which is sad. But there's also therapists that come into the industry when they're quite young, and they don't necessarily, they come and they're qualified, and then they don't get a lot of mentorship. And I think that any industry would have an apprentice phase where you're working under someone who is teaching you how to master the skills of your trade. And beauty therapy has lost that over the years. So that's really meaningful for me also, is maintaining the standard of the beauty industry and helping therapists to be respected for their skills. So we'll be providing in-house training with our therapists. We make sure that they're absolutely competent in all of their treatments and services, and then find them work in salons where they can work on an ad hoc basis. So all of my girls are actually really solid that they don't want to work full time in a salon or spa. So we're recruiting other therapists for permanent placements if there's a need for that. But our focus is really around ad hoc work. So if it's a 1 week or a 1 day, and we're offering a backup service. So if a therapist is sick or something happens, we have therapists on backup, and all of the principles of Sheer Bliss apply. So all of our girls are linked to Uber for Business. So if they're lost or running late, they can use that tool to make sure that they get to work on time. And we really push professional culture at Sheer Bliss. So all of our ladies are accountable to us as a company. They know the Sheer Bliss way and what we expect from them. And many of our girls have been with us for 10 years and more. So we've got really good relationships with them, and they can tell us honestly what's going on for them if there's any kind of hiccup, because it does happen. And I'm hopeful that this will add value to the beauty industry with skilled therapists, help our therapists learn new skills in salons and new products, and hopefully help the beauty industry with good therapists that bring returning customers to their salons and spas.
So I've focused mostly on the mobile massage, where you sit at your desk and you get a back massage when you watch the virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only thing, right? Yeah. So just talk us through the other things that the therapists do.
So we've got a normal seated head, neck and shoulder massage that comes in a 6, 10 and a 15 minute variety. And our 6 minutes is our most favorable service. It really works well for big numbers. So if we need to do 1,000 massages in a day, that's typically the one that gets chosen. And then we do the massage with virtual reality, which is really special. And then we do pop-up nail bars. And we can also convert any space into a spa for the day. So that's our My Spa to You. It's really nice for bachelorette parties or baby showers and things like that, group bookings, where you can just have a group of therapists come and just have a spa day in with your besties.
So where's your main focus? Is it on corporate wellness days, or is it on the pamper parties?
Predominantly corporate. We're very strongly B2B, so we actually just created some packages for pamper parties, just because we've been getting asked about them for so long, and I think that it's important to listen to your customers and give them an off-the-shelf offering if that's what they want. So yeah, we do that, but our core focus, I would say that more than anything, we're a corporate massage company. So corporate wellness is really top of mind, and we focus very much on productivity. So our massages are based on neuroscience, and it's the sequence of the massage is designed to increase productivity. So it's different to having a long massage where you're going to stimulate your lymphatic system, a lot of toxins move through your body, and that can make you feel quite sluggish and tired after a massage, versus a short massage that stimulates serotonin and dopamine and oxytocin, which help you build trust and helps you feel happy. And dopamine is your go-to action chemical. So a short massage gives you like a burst of energy versus kind of feeling a little bit tired happen. I mean, those health benefits are important for a long massage. I'm not knocking that at all. Mm. We support that. But in the workplace, you want to have a quick massage. We don't use any product, so you're not going to be left feeling sticky afterwards. And then you can go about your day. And we exhibited at the HR Works conference recently. And one of the ladies was like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do this. You know, so our VR massage just makes it more immersive. So you actually do then step away from your desk for a moment while you have this experience and take a proper break. And she came to me afterwards and she said, I can't believe how focused I was during the conference. I'm normally so distracted and I fiddle, but I was really tuned in to the speakers and what they were saying. So it's not a gimmick. It really does work.
And do you sometimes with companies offer kind of, you'll do it every Monday or every Friday, or you'll do it on the first of every month, or is it only on the wellness days?
Yeah, not enough of those, David. We'd like some more of those. But it's not something that some companies do. Like a lot of media companies will have where staff are working on a deadline and then the massages are the reward for afterwards, because there's also something in giving staff something to look forward to. But predominantly it would be like a wellness day or a quarterly booking. It's very seldom that you'll have companies that are booking monthly. It depends on the company culture. And if it is a monthly booking and things like that, it's typically smaller businesses that are doing that.
Right. And you said right in the beginning that when you started doing this business, you resigned on the spot and then you just went and you just launched into a business without a plan, without knowing what you were doing, and you built it as you went along.
Yeah.
And now you're moving the business. You're not physically moving to the UK, or mm-hmm. maybe you are, but are you doing the same thing? Are you just moving, or do you have a set plan? What's your thought process of why look at the UK?
Well, the UK, because I have a British passport and my family's there. So if I have an excuse to commute between South Africa and the UK, it's a really good one. Mm-hmm. Also, it was inspired by, I'm part of the EY Winning Women program, and we were on conference in Turkey and they were talking about scaling across borders. And it really just hit home for me that if I can do this in Cape Town and Durban, where I'm not there the whole time, I can set it up in the UK. And if there is anything, I can get there in 11 hours. I have a British passport. I don't need to apply for a visa. And it so happens that I have found myself a South African partner there who will be able to run the operations. And she used to run a mobile beauty business in Joburg. So, you know, you've just got to trust God's hand when things like this happen and things fall into place and go with it. So we've officially registered and we're busy working on all of our foundation for setting up. And then my plan is to begin by approaching some of our South African companies that we know are international and ask them for some referrals, because I also got into my head about funding and we need so much to start. And then I kind of just went, no, we can borrow things from Shebla South Africa if we need to, and let's just get it going. And I would like to get funding and scale faster than what I have in South Africa and take the lessons from building this business and see if I can improve that in the UK. And it's a different market. There's a bit of fear. No other beauty business has been successful in the UK, so it would give me great nachas if I could be that person.
that's great. And it's like looking at the concept of when you use the funds within the business to grow itself rather mm-hmm. than external funding. It's a concept called bootstrapping.
Yeah.
Where you bootstrap and you get it going from within.
Mm-hmm.
I want to unpack a little bit more about that, but guess what? We've got to pay the bills, so after the break.
In service.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel. We're talking to Nadine Hochter, who is talking about Sheer Bliss. And not only Sheer Bliss in South Africa, but moving across to the UK. So I find it fascinating that you're not scared of doing things like that. It must be daunting. You're a bit scared.
I'm a bit scared.
But you're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And there's a saying of feel the fear.
Yeah.
And do it anyway.
Yeah. I think I'd be more scared to not do it and always wonder what if. So if I don't try, I'll never know. And I have to try. You know, that's one of the sheer bliss values is be fearless. And it's something we say to our therapist the whole time, you know, getting them driving. A lot of the ladies are too scared to drive. They're just nervous to get behind a wheel. They don't think they can do it. And then they do it. And then they become independent. And it's beautiful to see. And I think we all have that. You have to try things. And even if they seem scary, just go for it and be brave and just do it.
And part of what that is when you see an opportunity, you're saying, take that opportunity. Mm. So something came about with the UK and you thought, hang on a second, you can do that.
Mm.
There's no difference between, you. Instead of going to Bloemfontein, you're going to go to London.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, there's a bigger population in London. Yes. but exactly that it is. If we can do it here, then we can do it anywhere.
And I'm surprised that this concept isn't there. Do they have, they clearly got some kind of beauty salons there. What are you offering that they don't have there?
So there is corporate massage there. We have a lot of competitors, which is actually makes me happy because I don't have to try and introduce a new concept to people. And it's almost like wellness is an emerging market right now there, which is exciting for us because when I first started Sheer Bliss, I was pitching this idea and there was no wellness budget. Now there are wellness budgets and that makes it much easier when you're speaking to clients. So I'm happy that it is already happening there, but no one else is doing virtual reality. We're the only ones in the world. So if everyone can just tell people that virtual reality, massage with VR was born in South Africa, taken to the world.
That's amazing. and you've got the headset in front of you. For those of you who haven't seen a virtual reality headset, how would you describe it? Just describe
like
it to me.
Goggles. It's like a mask. When people phone us, we say it's a mask or a set of goggles that you put on. And once you have it on your face, it's not like looking at a screen. It's being in that place. So all of our ladies will always say, you're there. You're really there. You're on the beach. So if you look around, you'll see the sand at your feet. You'll see the sky above you. You'll see birds flying. You'll see waves lapping. It's a moving video, but you are in the video. You're not just looking at it.
Yeah. So I put the headset on just before the interview, and it's quite amazing. You're looking ahead of you and you can see the view.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I moved, you're looking around and you're looking, as you were saying, up and down and behind you. And it's almost like a 360 video. You're seeing everything and you get a sense of actually, as you said, being there.
And I think, it's something that we also do now since we started. I mean, 2018, we just started working with virtual reality. And over the years, it's evolved, of course. And now we create content. So you can really tell any story in virtual reality. And you can use it for different applications. So you could use it for staff onboarding. You can use it for building tours if you've got people that want to see a building before you fly investors out and they can see it in real space and get an idea.
So are you creating some of those videos yourself?
Yes, we are. Yeah, so we can create anything. So we can animate it, we can use it for training. It's endless and it's magic. It's what I love, really.
So maybe that's the next phase of development where you'll be completely different and offering new things depending on what the customer needs.
Yeah, and we really, for the UK, that's what we're focusing on. I think that market is very open to immersive technology. And so we will be doing massages. We will be focused on massage with virtual reality because it's what our customers know us for. But we are going to strongly focus on storytelling with virtual reality. And it's something that we're doing here quite a lot now as well. And it's very exciting because the concepts that we get, and I can't speak about them because we have NDAs, but some of them are just so cool. And it's so fun to do that kind of work.
So NDAs, for those who don't know, is non-disclosure agreement. So that's why you can't disclose it.
Yep.
So in the last few minutes that we have left, I want to ask you if we have a 15 or 16-year-old person or a 65-year-old person who's now finished the corporate job and looking to do something themselves.
Mm.
Give us three lessons that somebody looking at starting or running their own business should really focus on. If you had to take just three things, doesn't have to be the top three, but just three things.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is it doesn't have to be perfect. You can start. Just start. and find customers and keep your promises and use that cash to put it back into the business and manage your cash flow carefully. David Zeidel can tell you all about managing your cash and knowing the numbers of your business. And, you know, that you don't have to wait for funding and just be brave. So just go and do it. And I had this all planned out before we got on this thing. I had like three beautiful things. So it was, don't wait for funding. It doesn't have to be perfect, and just do it. Really, just do it. If you have an idea and you love it, just do it and try it. And if it sticks, keep doing it until you have money to keep doing it more.
Great. So throw to the wall and see what sticks.
Yep.
Will be your slogan from now on. So thank you very much. This has been the AutJet Business Show. This has been Nadine Hochter, and I'm David Zeidel, and let's do business.
Thank you.